We are going to ban assault weapons. There's no godly reason for them.
I don't know if you guys have return YouTube dislike. It's called return YouTube dislike. If you go to return YouTube dislike, it's free. It's a plugin for Firefox or Google Chrome or whatever you've got. And it allows you to once again see the dislike button. Because remember, they took that function away. If you don't have this, you can't see the, you know, how many dislikes. Thank goodness they still have that, because Little Mermaid put out their official teaser on September 9th, 2022. And oh boy, does it have a lot of dislikes. Look at this. It's got 1.749 million dislikes to only 631,000 likes. Now, why do you think that is? I'm not going to speculate. I'll leave that up to you to answer the question, but I'm going to refresh this page right now. Now it's got 1,750,000. So it increased by about 1,000. So there's a lot of people who dislike this, and it's really good to have that return YouTube dislike button so you can actually see what's going on behind the scenes. But apparently, the voice of the people has spoken, unless there's a lot of bots on this. And I don't know why there would be bots against Disney. But you got a lot of people who do not like this Little Mermaid trailer for one reason or another. I don't know why. Just don't know why. In other news, I don't know if you've seen this, but Katie Turr from NBC says she's having a bit of introspection here. It's unreal that every single member of the corporate press isn't confronting this reality. Listen to what Katie Turr says. Remember, she's a part of mainstream, fake stream, CIA infiltrated Operation Mockingbird, MK Ultra Media, who specializes in propagating falsehoods on behalf of the military industrial complex, as far as we've seen historically. Remember weapons of mass destruction? You really don't need to know anything about fake stream media other than weapons of mass destruction. If they're going to lie about that and bring us into this almost eternal conflict in the Middle East, costing tens of thousands, millions of lives, tens of thousands service members' lives. They go up there, they get PTSDs. 20 service members a day are committing suicide because they can't deal with the PTSDs that they contracted in these war zones. So you got weapons of mass destruction, just one lie, just an example of one lie, not to mention the Gulf of Tonkin that brought us into the conflict of the Vietnam War, that lie. There's so many lies. But listen to Katie Turr actually coming to grips with the fact that, I wonder why we're not as popular as we used to be. Why is the trust level of society at an all-time low when they view mainstream media?
There was just a Gallup poll out today that shows that the trust in media and newspapers and television is, you know, hitting an all-time low. People don't trust us, they don't believe us, and it makes me wonder if this job, as I'm currently doing it, is effective, but if it's doing more harm than good. I don't have a good answer for that.
Well, find the answer. You're a reporter, right, Katie? I don't know why they don't trust us. I don't know why they don't believe us. Well, why don't you sit down and ask yourself a question? Why don't they trust us? Why don't they believe us? Oh, that's right, because we have a long and sordid history of deceiving the public so that we can ramrod through agendas, so that we can increase the coffers of the military industrial complex, so we can convince people that we're being attacked. And you're not patriotic if you're not on board with us. We're being attacked. Of course we have to go spend a whole bunch of money on weapons through the defense contractors, Northrop Grumman and Boeing and all these other people who are going to be crazy enriched by our lie. Which is going to equal what in the fallout? A bunch of human beings dying. So she says,
believe us, and it makes people don't trust us. They don't believe us, and it makes me wonder if this job, as I'm currently doing it, is effective.
It makes me wonder if my job is effective. You should wonder, why don't they trust us? Why don't they believe us? Why did we propagate weapons of mass destruction? Why, back in the 1960s, did they say that there was an incident in the Gulf of Tonkin where Vietnamese torpedo boats were firing on the USS Maddox, when there's no evidence that that even happened? And there's actually evidence where the higher ups back then knew that didn't happen. LBJ goes, well, for all I know, they were just shooting at whales out there. Ha ha, yuckity yuckity yuck. And then we get involved in this decade, over a decade long war in Vietnam where we're dropping napalm on innocent villages. 1.5 to 3 million people died because of your stupid lie, and you're going to laugh about it? That's psychopathic, man. So why don't they trust you, Katie? Huh, I wonder why. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. It doesn't even take a reporter. You could have third grade level education and realize, oh, you've lied to the public so many times, that's why they don't trust you. The people that you should trust are the people who give you the news. If you're misinformed or they spread disinformation on the news, pretty much all bets are off. You're going to wreck a society. You're going to lead people into war. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to lead to a lot of deaths. That's why people don't trust you, Katie. Don't sit here and go, I wonder if what I'm doing is effective. How about wondering if what you're doing is destructive? How about that?
But if it's doing more harm than good, I don't have a good answer for that.
I do. It's doing more harm than good. It's doing more harm than good. You got Donald Lamone from CNN saying the greatest threat in America today is white men radicalized to the right. So what are you fomenting there, Donald Lamone? Do you think it's really good for the landscape of American society to foment racial division? It's good for the banksters. It's good for the defense contractors. It's good for Washington's district of criminals. It's not so good for the common man on the streets of America. All right, so Joe Biden says we're going to take the most aggressive action ever, ever, ever to address the climate crisis and energy security, says the guy who flies around in this. Last report I saw, it cost $212,000 to $222,000 per hour to keep Air Force One in the air. And there's Air Force One and Air Force Two, and they usually put them up in the air at the same time. So there's kind of a diversion strategy. So this guy right here who says that he's gonna aggressively come out against the climate crisis is one of the biggest gross polluters on the planet. This guy has a carbon footprint. One guy has a carbon footprint of most cities, because to put this bird right here in the air, do you realize the resources and the planning and the carbon emitted to actually put that thing in the air? Not only that, they have this entourage. They have this, it's like a convoy of planes in the air. Some of those planes are military planes that move the Beast 1 and Beast 2. Last I checked, the Beast 1 and Beast 2 only get about 9 miles per gallon. This is a fossil fuel. It's a fossil fuel consuming vehicle, and boy, does it consume fuel. So this guy who's saying that he's going to be aggressive against the climate crisis is not really going to be so aggressive in his own practical life. But he's the president of the United States. Dude, lead by example. Lead by example. If you want people to stop emitting carbon, then why don't you, how about the buck starts with you? Listen to this guy.
I'm going to take the most aggressive action ever, ever, ever to confront the climate crisis and increase our energy security ever in the whole world. And that's not hyperbole, that's a fact.
We got to listen to this. It's almost like a ever in the whole, ever, 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 ever in the whole world. It's like a little two-year-old. I promise, Mommy, I'm not going to ever, 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 ever do it in the whole world. Listen to him.
I want to take the most aggressive action ever, ever, ever to confront the climate crisis and increase our energy security ever in the whole world. And that's not hyperbole, that's a fact.
So he's going to address the climate crisis. What does that involve? That involves in ruining your life, basically. We don't mind ruining your life to save the planet. If saving the planet means we got to ruin your life, God, by golly, we're going to do it. We're going to take the most aggressive action ever. Well, where will that aggressive action be directed? That aggressive action will be directed at you and me. Do I want a clean planet? Yes. Do you want a complete clean planet? Of course. We want clean air to breathe, clean water to drink. We don't want to see our planet destroyed. Of course, you know, people shouldn't be irresponsible and dump toxins into the air. And then the rain comes and all that mercury that's created by the coal plants, you know, goes down into our rivers and streams and oceans. And then when you pop open a can of tuna, you got to be worried about the mercury content in it. Nobody wants to live on a planet like that. But guess what? Most of those things happen because of government. And so if it happens because of government, then who created the problem? And what's the dialectic we find ourselves in? Because it sounds to me like it's a Hegelian dialectic. If the problem is there's mercury in the oceans and there's carbon in the air and the ozone layer is depleted, well, then who's the biggest gross polluter of all that? How much carbon is emitted into the atmosphere just with the existence of the military-industrial complex? How much carbon is emitted by those psychopaths in Washington's district of criminals who are constantly jet setting to and fro and telling you need to watch your carbon footprint? It's amazing to me that the biggest gross polluters are the ones yelling the loudest about being the most aggressive against climate change when they're the ones who are actually creating the problem. So it does sound like the Hegelian dialectic. They created the problem. They wait for the reaction, you know, because the reaction of the people is, of course, we want a clean planet. But a lot of people don't stop to think the reason our planet is dirty is because you people in Washington, D.C. empower the industrial giants and the big corporations who do spew that crap into the air and who do pollute our streams, rivers, and oceans and do, you know, increase the mercury content in the fish we eat or whatever. And don't oversee things like the Fukushima disaster. You know, that's governments that did that. Think about Operation Fishbowl. How much carbon was emitted into the atmosphere trying to pierce the firmament? Think about all the bombs that were dropped just in Vietnam alone, not to mention the hundreds and hundreds of bombs that are dropped every week in the Middle East. Still to this day, under every presidency. How much carbon does that emit? How about the drones you guys put in the air? What are those powered by? All the military aircraft and the military vehicles on the ground. So you're going to come out with the most aggressive action ever to address the climate crisis? The climate crisis, if there is one, that you created? Of course they create the problem, wait for the fear-based reaction, and then step in to provide the pre-planned solution. Because the pre-planned solution includes putting a whole bunch of money into the pockets of the people who created the problem in the first place. That's bad, bad stuff. And to go along with this, here's what he said about banning assault weapons. And remember, when you ban something, you are criminalizing a person who possesses that particular weapon. And when you criminalize somebody who's innocent, guess who just committed the crime? The person who said that that innocent person is now a criminal because you possess something that we told you you couldn't have.
But guess what? I'm not stopping here. We are going to ban assault weapons. There is no godly reason for them.
So again, a guy who is surrounded constantly by an arsenal, including assault-style military-grade rifles. There's no godly reason for them. Then why are you and your security detail protecting you and your political cohorts with the very weapons that you say that we shouldn't have? You hypocrite. We're going to ban assault weapons. There's no godly reason for them. Well, if there's no godly reason for them and you are using them to protect yourself, does that mean that's a demonic reason? You're employing demonic ideology to protect yourself with the same weapons that you say should be made illegal for the rest of us? So much hypocrisy.